Dear Longpo Anand, thank you for the meditation guidance. I struggle with Buddha as a meditation object, whether it is with breathing or walking. As the mind tightens up, I chant Buddha in my head. I feel more tense, sometimes at the chest area, as if I'm forcing the mind to concentrate. Sometimes it's also proliferates while I chant Buddha at the back of my head. When I get used to it, should I change my meditation object, or how should I change my relationship with Buddha? Much gratitude. Thank you, Longpo.
So with reciting this word Buddha, there may be this feeling of maybe tension in the stress in the chest. And that's because the mind is beginning to gather together. And so there can be this feeling of this firmness in the chest or the head and the forehead or the end of the nose. You can feel really firm, like there's a lump of something there, like a rock. And we can observe that the thoughts will steadily reduce. So we need to understand that we haven't had this kind of experience before, of the mind becoming peaceful like this, and there being this stillness and also this togetherness, this firmness there to it. And if it becomes really firm, then it feels like the body is a rock. So perhaps we don't like that feeling. Perhaps we prefer the feeling of the mind and the body being very buoyant and light. But when this comes up, it feels like the body is a rock. We see that the thoughts start to reduce. They can reduce a great deal. And this is one level of samadhi right here. But when the energy of that samadhi lessens, then there'll be a restlessness of mind and the mind will start to proliferate. But at this point, there's no need to change the object. When there is this proliferation, we carry on reciting Buddha like we did before, or we can recite Buddha, Dhammo, Sangho. But if we do that slowly, there's still some space, some empty spaces for the thoughts to be able to enter in. If we recite Buddha, and then Do. So the mind can still have space to think about other things. So therefore we need to recite Buddha quickly. Recite Buddha, 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 Buddha. And not allow the mind to go off thinking about other things. Don't give it any space. So there's no need to change. But it's beginning to become better here. So we should understand that if we're reciting these meditation words and the mind gathers together, then it becomes firm and there's this stillness and the thoughts steadily reduce. And then the energy of samadhi that we gain from that, we can use that to contemplate the body, to contemplate how all things are unstable and constant. We'll be able to see this with greater clarity. And that's due to the energy of the mindfulness and samadhi that is full and complete. So if the mind is still thinking, then we can use contemplation. And so we can think, this word Buddha, what is it? It's the one who knows, the awakened one, the joyful one. And so what did the Buddha know? Knew the Four Noble Truths. Why is he joyful? It's through the abandoning of the kilesas. And there's the awakened nature from delusion. So the Buddha knew that this body is not a self. So we can contemplate that. We see how we are deluded by this, that it's me, belongs to me. So we need to use this reflective thought from the mind that is chaotic or that is scattered, that we use that to contemplate the body, just like I explained this morning. like how it's a heap of elements, it's a heap of something which is unattractive. It's just this collection of earth, water, fire, and air. So through that contemplation, then the mind comes to peace. And so when we recite this Buddha, this word, then we can bring the mind to stillness. Then it comes out of that, that we can contemplate. And so we can do this back and forth, back and forth. But there's no need to change your meditation object. Don't think in that way. Because if you carry on changing from this to that and that, then you won't become familiar with any particular object, and the mind will become even more chaotic and full of doubts. And so if you think, well, I tried this and the mind's not peaceful, and then you try that and the mind's not peaceful, then you meditate and you don't get much result from it, then you can become disheartened. So you need to understand that the mind is this way, and that sometimes it's peaceful, sometimes it's scattered. But have mindfulness, knowing that, and understanding what it is in time.
So this next question is from Yom Ern, Thailand. Homage to Long Po. My dog passed away last month. I felt sad. It also brought me a profound realization that this was not the first. I have already lost my grandparents and other dogs, and it will not be the last. Looking ahead, there's another dog, my husband, and my sister. When they die, I will have to face sadness again. At times, I can accept this truth with equanimity. At other times, it drives me to practice more. When the mind settles in meditation, happiness and a sense of normality arise, but often I am left with only sadness. Life feels like a pool of tears, and I don't want to do anything, whether wholesome or not. May I humbly ask for Long Po's guidance?
So this separation, it's the nature of all conditioned phenomena, all sankharas, whether it's people or animals or physical objects, that they all deteriorate, decay, in line with time. And so this dog that you had is a dog that you loved and had met the loving kindness towards. And so the separation from that then leads to suffering. But this is a law of nature. However, if we don't know that, understand it for what it is quickly enough, then the mind can become sad and suffer. But when we have that suffering, there's wisdom present, then we contemplate, well, what is that about? And so we can contemplate and see how it's not just this life that this has happened to us, that for each life into which we are born, we meet with separation. And it's like this life after life constantly. There's old age, sickness, and death. There's people and things that we love, and we are separated from those. And the lives that we have, the realms of existence we're born into, these are endless. And so with birth, then, there needs to be separation. And that happens in each and every life. And so this has happened for such a very long time already. And just the bones that have accumulated from the bodies that we have had in previous lives, if you gather all these together, it's bigger than a mountain. So from all the times that we've been born and died like this, it's so many times. So when things are this way, then we need wisdom to reflect wisely upon that, upon the truth of how things are. And if we can do that, then the heart feels at ease. There can be this chastened dispassion and a coolness there. And this realization that life is not sure, but death is sure. And so we don't know sort of how or where it is that we will die. But we do know that we will have to meet with death. And so there can be many different ways of that happening. Perhaps people go out and seek fun, but they end up dying or get into an accident. And there are many people for whom this happens. So there are many ways that can lead to death. But if we don't have wisdom around that, then it's possible for the mind to get sad or depressed. And through kind of thinking about the nature of separation. But we should contemplate and see how all the tears that we have cried from being separated from the things we love. The Buddha said that those amount to more than all of the water in the oceans. And so if we get sad and we cry, then the tears from that, it's not even one glass full. But the tears that we have cried in all our previous lives, they amount to more than all the water in the oceans. Therefore, we should contemplate this well with wisdom. But we need to be careful of the mind, that if it starts falling down, if it starts becoming depressed, then we should have the mindfulness present to know that, to know what is the mind like now, to know that this is not correct. So we need to have this mindfulness and wisdom there. And that reflection should bring up a sense of weariness in this nature of birth and death, and also a sense of effort towards creating goodness. But if there is a feeling of being discouraged, then you should know that that is present in the mind and see that that is not a self. These feelings, they are not self. And these are things which need to be abandoned. So any bad, unskillful state that has arisen needs to be abandoned. So it's not the case that you don't want to do any skillful things or any unskillful things, because this unskillful thing has already arisen within your mind. So you should see that this is something which is not for sure. Any feelings of being discouraged, these are not sure, these are not self. And teach your mind so you can bring it back into a balanced and centered state. So see the danger in attaching to any of these moods of the mind, that these are things which are tricking you, so you need to be cautious around them. So teach your mind to not get lost or deluded in them.
Dear respected Longpo Anand, if someone gives donations and shares their merits with a dead relative, is it possible to know if the dead will benefit? Also, I heard that when sharing merits, the dedication has to be done out loud so that devas can hear and inform the relatives. I understand that the donor or sharer of merits benefits themselves. With much gratitude for the teachings and retreat.
So, through the act of creating merit, the mind becomes bright and joyful. So this could be through generosity, and through keeping precepts, or through practicing cultivating the mind by chanting, sitting in meditation, listening to the Dhamma. So these are all meritorious and skillful things. And then we can think about our mother or father, our teachers or friends who are close to us, those who have goodness towards us and who we have respect for. And think, may they be find even more happiness than they already have, and may their suffering reduce. And we can as we are making that determination, pour some water as well, and make this determination that if they are not aware of this, then may the Earth Goddess know about this, or the Devas, and inform them of these skillful things, so that they may not have suffering and they may have greater happiness. But we also need to consider that the people who have passed away, where are they now? What realm have they been born into? And if if they are in a place where they're happy and they're receiving the merit, then, like as a deva, then they can become aware of that and experience even more happiness. If they are in a realm where they're experiencing much suffering, then that merit won't be able to reach them. But at the very least, the person who has created that merit themselves, that they feel joyful through that. And so they are getting that merit already, for sure. So then the question is, well, will we know whether they've received that merit or not? And we need to train our mind to be able to get a sense of this and train the mind well. And then sometimes it is possible to know this, that we get this feeling that we spread metta to someone who's passed away, share our merits with them, and there's this feeling deep in the mind that they have received that, that there's this feeling of ease and settledness in the heart, and this is possible. But that depends upon our training of our own minds. And so there's a story I'd like to tell you, which is of King Bimbisara. And he had a relative who, in the distant past, in the time of a previous Buddha, had created some unskillful deeds and was receiving the results of those deeds. He was also told that, previously had been the relative of King Bimbisara. And so within the lifetime of our present Buddha, King Bimbisara had created much merit in making offerings to the Buddha. But he hadn't spread or shared this merit with his previous relatives. So this previous relative, who is now born as a pretta, as a hungry ghost, didn't receive any of that. And so at night, there was this great cry, the shout that was heard, and King Bimbisara woke up because of that. He was wondering, what was that? And so he asked the Buddha, and the Buddha explained that this being that's now a pretta had been a relative of yours in a previous life, and he's been waiting for this to receive the merit and the skillfulness of these acts that you have done, but you didn't share the merit with him, and so he was suffering because of that. And so then when he did share that merit, then the pretta was able to know about that, that he was sharing that. He poured out some water and dedicated the merit to the relatives who had passed away. And through that, then, this pretta was able to change its state of existence and become born as a very bright and beautiful deva. So therefore, this act of dedicating merits, sharing merits, this is a tradition that's been passed down to us. And as to whether they get that merit or they don't, it's at the very least we are the ones who gain skillfulness or goodness from that act of sharing.